Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, 12:50 AM in the radio.com app. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Pick and Save Milwaukee Brewers post-game show.
You watch soccer at all?
No.
Mandela, do you watch soccer at all?
Not if I can help it.
Not at all. But you know Liverpool?
Yes, and Barcelona, yes.
Right. This is pretty good. Darren Revelle just tweeted out, Liverpool is going to the Champions League final. LeBron James owns 2% of the team. He paid $6.5 million for the stake in Liverpool in 2011. That is now worth at least $35 million now. Think about that.
He also made like $32 million just straight profit off of Beats headphones. See,
and you wonder, right. You also wonder why guys like Aaron Rodgers want a piece of him at whatever point. He's going to get paid back big compared to what he bought in for.
Just think of what the people that bought in for the Brewers, and Eric Name's on hold, and bring him in here in just 1 second. Just think of the guys that bought in with the Milwaukee Brewers when Mark bought the team for $221 million.
Yep.
And they were
some
just,
of those guys moved over from Bud.
And they were just assessed, at over $1.23 billion.
Yep.
So, yeah. Let's put that in your pipe and smoke it. Eric Name. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline as he does each and every week here Tuesdays on the Big Show. Eric, appreciate it. Much happier situation when you join us this week on Tuesday on the Wendy's Big Show. 3-1, that was one heck of an effort by Giannis last night, 39-16.
Hey, Baby Tosh, who's all on the show today?
Myself, Sparky, Gary Ellerson, and Leroy Butler are joining us here momentarily.
I know y'all are pretty good at that whole producing thing. Do you have last week's show up at all? Do you have that interview ready to go? I do have.
I can pull up some from that interview for sure.
You should have told Mandela this before you came on.
Because I mean, I feel like you guys always are so good at pulling up like old clips of me and stuff. But I mean, I feel like I came on the show. I believe it was last Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Day of game.
Yeah, last
two.
Tuesday.
I think it was Tuesday. Yeah.
I came on the show and Sparky was yelling, screaming at me, you know, what's going to be different? How's
right.
all this?
And you said it all came on to Giannis.
And I said, all of them come on to Giannis. And you said, oh, Eric, how's it going to change? How are they going to do anything different? The Celtics are going to defend them the same way. They don't have a chance. And I said, Giannis, that's how it'll be different.
And I said, Bledsoe has to play better than he did. And he did that night.
But would you say Giannis has played a little bit better than he did in Game 1, Spark?
Sure, no doubt. No, no doubt. You're absolutely right.
He's the reason.
You're absolutely.
He's the reason why.
No doubt. Yesterday, you're right. Yesterday, he was outstanding. No doubt about it. But if we're bringing up.
That was it?
No, in the series.
That was it?
But
yesterday?
But
yesterday's the only day
he's
outstanding, Spark.
But Eric,
you're right.
Go get America.
You're right. Giannis has played much better, and you were right on that.
Okay.
But you also said...
No. I got time to talk to Gary.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. But you also said, Eric, that Pat Connaughton...
Last week.
You also said Pat Connaughton wasn't meant to be in the series.
Go ahead. Let the man talk, man. Spark, let him go. Come on.
This is my time.
Go ahead.
Me on the show. This is my time.
Come on.
So, you two yelling and screaming at me. So, Spark starts off with, oh, how's it going to be different? I tell you how it's going to be different. Then Gary comes on. Oh, Eric, you tell me right now, who's more talented? And I say, you know what, Gary? I think that's a tough question. Because if you go person by person and you say, okay, in the number one slot, this one's better. In the number two, this one's better. You know, you're probably going to put more check marks on the Celtics side. But then in the end, you know, you got to look at it. And, you know, sometimes maybe the number one guy is just so good that you have more talent. And, man, when I look at this series again, I got to say, kind of feels like I'm right again.
No, but, Eric, you know what? I agree with you on that, but I don't know if you recognize it. I think my co-host, Baby Tosh, made it bigger than what it was. I go, yeah, you're right. And he's going to try to look that up and play it back, but I think I agree with you on that. But I was, okay. Yeah, I agree with you, but I still think that the Boston Celtics have the better team. But the Bucks are playing the best basketball.
That could be. I think
they may be playing the best basketball, really, out of any teams that are left right now. Maybe I think Utah is playing pretty good right now. But I think the Bucks are probably playing the best basketball
Utah's
right
out,
now.
Utah's out, aren't they? Yeah.
Not Utah.
Denver.
I'm sorry, Denver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I would say is I
because last night, them jokers last night, Eric, what was that? Was that third quarter when they were on the bench?
It was bad.
And they played well.
Yeah, no, the
Bucks guys on the floor. Yeah.
Pulled that one away in the third quarter. There's no doubt about it. But like I said, like this series is all about Giannis.
Yes,
and
it is.
Or not, he was the best player on the planet.
You and I both agree on that.
And I think that's kind of how it's come down. But I'll take your guys' question now. I just wanted to get that out of the way because it felt like, you know, I just couldn't get through this segment last week without getting yelled at about mm-hmm. not taking your guys' concerns serious enough. So I just wanted to make sure that my concerns this week were taken seriously.
That was good.
Yeah, thank you.
So let's
I'm
talk.
Proud of you, Eric.
Let's talk.
You stand up to these jokers.
Let's talk about Pat Connaughton, who you said wasn't good enough to play in this series.
Wow, see, Steve, why you got
so what? What about Pat that? Connaughton? What changed?
Man, I just think he's kind of found a way to impact this game, and I think the big thing has been that in that first game they had him on an island a lot with Gordon Hayward. And that just wasn't going to work. Like, I just don't know if he really had the foot speed and the way that they were covering pick and rolls that, you know, too often they were asking him to get over the top of it and not switch. And, you know, starting with game two, they started to switch everything 1 through 4. And now even in games 3 and 4, we've seen them have Brook Lopez switch on to Kyrie Irving. So Bud kind of made the choice that, hey, we're going to switch everything. And, I mean, some of the best defense we've seen this team play has been in probably the last few games, just taking a look at the entire season where, you know, they're switching everything and they're swarming and the Celtics just look confused. They look like they don't really know how to play against this. The ball just stops and then, you know, it doesn't really matter who has the ball at that time. The ball's just stopping there and they're taking the jumper at the end. And if you're the Bucks, you're just getting exactly what you want as you have really them on their heels as an offense where they just don't know what they're doing, that they can't handle it. And as it's gotten tougher and tougher for the Celtics team, they've just kind of shut down. Really, if we're being honest about it. Like,
yeah, let's be honest
about it. They just haven't been mentally tough enough, and they've just said, okay, we can't move the ball. Well, we're gonna take these jumpers because we're good enough to make them, and they haven't been good enough to make them, and the Bucks have just pretty much flat-out embarrassed them.
Eric Name joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show, Great Midwest Bank Hotline. He writes for The Athletic, covers the Bucks. Eric, there's a situation last night where it feels like as the game continues to turn that – Giannis is just getting better, and I can't go back to or help but go back to the fact that he hasn't played 40 minutes in one of these games yet in any game here in the playoffs.
The funny thing is, before the series, Giannis was trying to convince me that Bud wasn't going to play him 40 minutes a game, and I told him he was crazy. I was like, there's no way that Bud is going to go through this series and not play you 40 minutes a game. Like that's just... He'd be crazy not to. And Giannis kind of looked at me and he was like, he's not going to. And I said, he has to. And he was like, no, Eric, what you don't understand is we're so deep this year that he doesn't need to, that our guys can handle it. Our guys can get through this. And, you know, I can play the minutes that I've been playing. You know, maybe there'll be a game where I bump up to 38, 39 minutes, but it's not going to be like that for a full series. And I legitimately thought he was crazy when he told me. I thought you are out of your mind. And they haven't. There was one game where we went up to 38, 39 minutes of game three. And other than that, they've just kind of said, all right, we're gonna go out and roll it out and let our depth take advantage of it. And really, if anything surprises me in this series, like obviously, as I told you guys last week, I was kind of counting on Giannis like stepping it up another level. The depth is what surprised me. Obviously, I was wrong on Pat Connaughton, and like for George Hill to play like this for as long as he had is just kind of incredible.
Eric, we were asking people earlier today, and just to give you a little bit of context into the situation, Ryan Windhorst was on our show, or on our station a couple of weeks ago, said a situation when LeBron faced the Pistons in that semifinal series. He has the 45 points, and he had his, what he called the Matrix moment, where he understands that he's the best player on the floor, and nobody is going to be able to stop him no matter what. Did Giannis have that moment for him last night in the playoffs?
I think partially it was – so I think in game one and game two, what Giannis kind of figured out was that Al Horford is going to be physical. But so often when guys have been physical with Giannis this year, they've also decided that I'll be physical sometimes, and then sometimes when you hit me, I'm going to flop. And that kind of messes with Giannis. Like that throws off his equilibrium a little bit because – he'll be aggressive, and then all of a sudden, like you saw Blake Griffin do, you just fall over, and, you know, he's going to pick up charges, he's going to get himself in foul trouble, and obviously he got a little foul trouble last night, but what I think sort of happened was that he figured out that Al Horford's not going to flop, that Al Horford is, like, you know, he has that pride that, hey, I'm gonna stand up to you, I'm going to give you the strength, and, you know, I think the first two games he kind of felt it out. We saw him very under control. He had one foul in one of those games in Milwaukee. He had two fouls in the other. And then since then, you've seen him start to pile up more fouls. You've seen him pile up more charges. But essentially what he's done is say, okay, I know you want to be physical, but if you want to get into a physical match with me, you're going to lose. No one is a better physical specimen in the entire league than me. So I'm going to go where I want, and I'm going to do what I want. And, you know, I just think the control that he played with last night, where when he had a bigger guy on him, he was physical enough to get through him. And when he got a switch onto a smaller guy, he didn't overdo it. He didn't try to, you know, immediately throw a shoulder into a guy like Jason Tatum. He didn't bowl over Kyrie Irving. He just took his time. He made his moves and he got wherever he wanted. And I think that to me is, again, I don't know if that's the Matrix moment where, you know, he realizes that, you know, I'm the one, but just to have the strength and then you add on the control to it, like that to me that's where the next level stuff comes with him.
Yeah, Eric, I love how you put these boys in their place. You had that high voice going
on. Wasn't it amazing?
That was hilarious. That was hilarious. That was fun. Hey, but listen, I got to get to these coaches, man. I know a lot of people talking about the players. And but to me, NCAA is about guard play and coaches. And now it come down in the NBA, it come down to superstars and coaching. I mean, Boone has been coaching his tail off ever since the first game. He really has. I don't know what's going on with Boston. I don't really care. But Stevens is supposed to be a great coach. He's got to fix those guys. I just think the adjustments that the Bucks made wasn't a whole lot of them. They're still going to shoot threes, but it just seemed like to me the substitution pattern is amazing. And I just don't think Coach Budenholzer get enough credit for that.
I think the tough part with Bud is obviously he's not a guy that loves making adjustments. And, you know, the players on the team sum it up kind of in the same way as you do. Like, you know, I told Chris the other day, I was like, man, like you guys, you know, kind of followed Bud's lead, made some adjustments, and, you know, obviously you're playing better in these last couple of games. And he's just like, look at me. He's like, I mean, come on, Eric. Like, switching 1 through 4, like, that isn't that big of an adjustment. I was like, it is. Like, you're playing a totally different style of defense. And he was like, well, yeah. He's like, I get what you're saying, but that's simple for us. Like, we know how to switch. That's pretty easy. Like, we're physical. We're fast. Like, we're strong. Like we can switch, so that isn't a big deal. But
I think where Bud doesn't get maybe enough credit, or maybe it's harder to credit him for it, is just how they've managed to stay together and how they've managed to keep getting production out of, you know, a bunch of guys that we heard throughout the entire regular season weren't going to be able to do this in the playoffs. Throughout all of the regular season, the criticism was what, right? That this is a regular season team. This isn't a playoff team. They put their system together, and you know they're just taking advantage of crummy teams. They can't beat the good teams. And now they've played essentially the exact same style of basketball they play in the regular season and the postseason. It's everything around Giannis. Everyone's going to keep shooting threes. And they've made some adjustments defensively, but it's still based on the same guys. Like, the Celtics haven't played Brooke Lopez off the floor. Brooke Lopez has found a way to contribute and do a lot of the things that he showed in very small spurts. Like, he showed the ability to switch a couple games. He showed the ability to do, some high hedging and do some different things. Like, he's shown off that ability to do different things, and now that's all coming to roost here in the playoffs. And I've been doing some podcasts and some other hits, and, you know, like, the phrase that keeps coming up is, like, you know, if someone shows you who they are, believe them. And the Bucks showed you who they were the entire year, and we probably should have believed them that they were that good. And the Celtics have shown you who they are the entire year, and we should have believed that they were that dysfunctional, and they were going to struggle in those ways. And I think all of that is kind of happening in this series.
This guy's Eric Name, and he's got a backbone, and he that just showed guy. You that he's got a backbone
that
today.
That guy right there.
Eric loved every single second of it. Next time I see you.
I love y'all.
Next time we're out, it's on me just for that, because that was just tremendous. That was just absolutely tremendous. Appreciate it, dude.
I'll see you next week, guys.
That's Eric Name of The Athletic joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Super late for a break. Wait no time. Your chance at $1,000 is right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.